supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this program. Today's special. We're going to speak about the struggle against the self, or Jihadun Nafs. So I invite you to be with today's special.
Felt that God answered my call. There was that one place I always thought about, and I just wanted to be there with you. The place that no eye has ever seen, the place that no heart has ever perceived. I had a great feeling inside of me that one day I'd be there with you. And now that we're here, feeling so good.
Today, Friday, is the first of Jamadi Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 26th of day, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 15th of January, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Today, we bless our program by recitation of chapter in Fitar, verses 1 to 5.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
إذا السماء انفطرت.
When the sky breaks apart.
وإذا الكواكب انتثرت.
And when the stars fall scattering.
وإذا البحار فجرت.
And when the seas are erupted.
وإذا القبور بعثرت.
And when the contents of graves are scattered.
علمت نفس ما قدمت وأخرت.
A soul will then know what it has put forth and kept back.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This is an admonishment to men in relation to the destruction of this phenomenal world, in order for him not to consider it immortal or not to be attached to it and avoid committing numerous sins for its sake. Man will see his deeds altogether, irrespective of good or evil, and understand what sort of deeds he had sent forth and what kind of deeds, together with their effects, remain in the world, whose result reach him later after his death.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free. I wish that somehow you tell me out aloud that on that day I'll be okay. But we'll never know, 'cause that's not the way it was. Help me find my way.
A question: what is the struggle against the self? Naturally, defeating self as a treacherous enemy is not an easy task, but requires determination, resistance, perseverance, and even a struggle not only for once or twice, for a few days and few years, but continuous one till the last breath of life, which is a hard, difficult, and serious struggle. In order to defeat the self and to control passions, we must fight hard by strictly following the commands of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, and infallible Imams, peace be upon them all. With the help of reason, must march forward, preventing transgressions of the self and destroying the roots of his forces so that reason could take over the power. And by taking inspirations from religious law, could guide us upon the path of human perfection leading towards Allah's nearness. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about jihad against our carnal desires. Imam Ali alayhi salam once indicated it in this way: اجعل لنفسك على نفسك رقيبة. Make a soul observable, or make a soul observant of your own soul. It means that you have to be watchful of your own deeds. Another phase is muhasabah. Muhasabah means calculation or examination. By calculation or examination, we have to see what we have done every day. I mean, how many good deeds we have done and how many bad things we have committed. And we have to remind ourselves of not committing those bad things anymore in order to reach more moral perfection. Another one is tazakkur. Tazakkur means recommendation. We have to recommend ourselves. We have to recommend ourselves of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the great helps of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of the punishments that, I mean, our vices or our bad deeds may make us subject to receiving those punishments from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another one is zabt khiyal. Zabt khiyal means confinement of imagination. Of course, this confinement of imagination, it doesn't mean that one shouldn't imagine anything. Rather, it means everybody is expected to control one's own power of imagination in terms of not thinking about committing crimes or committing vices or bad things. We have to remind ourselves of our ability and our internal or inherent desire to do good, both to ourselves and to the rest of the divine creation, in order to reach moral perfection. Thank you.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I, when I have you, to doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in life. A world that often lies, cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Piety and victory over the difficulties. One of the most important effects of piety is the ability to dominate over the difficulties of day-to-day life. Allah Almighty said in the Holy Quran, chapter 65, verses 2 to 3, "And whosoever keepeth his duty to God, he will appoint a way out for him, and will provide for him from a quarter whence it hath no expectation." A self-restrained and pious person who completely dominates over his passions regards this world and its problems as transient and short-lived, while considers the hereafter as a real and permanent abode, rests his trust upon the supreme and absolute power of God Almighty, treats the hardships and difficulties of this world as insignificant and temporary, does not become desperate and anxious, rather offers his absolute surrender to the divine will.
Every time I close my eyes, I see in front of me. I still can hear your voice calling out my name. And I remember all the stories you told me. I miss the time you were around. But I'm so grateful for every moment I spent with you, cause I know life won't last forever.
You're listening to today's special, and in this part we look at a historical event. In 1357, according to solar Hijri calendar, on this day, the British installed an American-backed Pahlavi potentate of Iran. Muhammad Reza Shah, forced by the massive tide of the Islamic Revolution, fled the country under pretext of medical treatment. He was placed on the Peacock Throne by the British in 1941 due to his support for Germany during World War II. In 1953, Mohammad Reza had fled the country faced with the people's uprising, but was returned to Iran and reinstalled on the throne by his godfathers, the British and the Americans, who carried out the August 19, 1953 coup to unseat Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh. Thereafter, Mohammad Reza loyally served the vested interests of the U.S. in Iran and the region, and brutally suppressed the Iranian people until he was forced to run away from Iran this day. The people of Iran celebrated his ouster with joy on the streets and demanded the return home from exile of their beloved leader, Imam Khomeini. In the next 3 weeks, the remnants of the oppressive Pahlavi regime collapsed and were thrown into the dustbin of the history with triumph of the Islamic Revolution.
We human beings might not have an outer enemy. Some have an outer enemy, some don't. But if you don't have an outer enemy, be sure that you have an inner enemy. And if fighting an outer enemy will take you a couple of years, fighting your inner enemy will take a whole lifetime. And this inner enemy is defined by Rasulullah, is introduced by Rasulullah when he said, "A'da aduwak nafsuka allati bayna jambik." That your greatest enemy is not an outer enemy. It's not an enemy that wants to kill you, that wants to fight you, that wants to bomb you. But it's an enemy from within. An enemy that wants to destroy you, not physically, but spiritually. An enemy that cares less where you go and what country you live in and how much you make as a living. But this enemy wants to drag you towards hellfire. And this enemy is called al-nafs. Our soul and our spirit. That is why we have a hadith that say, judge your nafs. Judge it. Question it. Is it good? Is it bad? Judge your emotions. The emotions that you have, and when we obey our emotions, is it good, is it bad?
I think this topic we talked about is so interesting. There was the struggle against the self or jihad or nafs. So we continue, inshallah, on the next episode of today's special. Till then, tomorrow, have a nice time. Fi amanillah.
Yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
Food for thought.
Salam everybody, and this is how Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, enlightens us regarding the mission of her father, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Allah has sent Muhammad as perfection for his commands, a resolution to accomplish his rule, and an implementation of the decrees of his mercy. So he found the nations to vary in their faith. obsessed by their fires, worshipping their idols, and denying Allah, despite their knowledge of Him. Therefore, Allah illuminated their darkness with my father, Muhammad, uncovered obscurity from their hearts, and cleared the clouds from their insights. He revealed guidance among the people, so He delivered them from being led astray, led them away from misguidance, guided them to the proper religion, and called them to the straight path.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. As we mentioned, paradise is something we all strive for. It is a particular, again, place in inverted commas, where we are able to manifest certain perfections. We are able to attain certain perfections that we cannot attain in this temporal and material world. And as we mentioned, it's something that comes with trial, tribulation, effort. That is something that is attained and not just given freely. And if, inshallah,
by the intercession of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. As I mentioned also in one of our previous programs, the intercession is not just something that, you know, a sinner, but rather it is something even a good person can get. A person can be taken to the higher levels by means of intercession. But rather here we should say tawassul. That by seeking tawassul in this world, we are able to fulfill our duties in order to attain that paradise that we seek, and that paradise that has been promised to the righteous, to the truthful, to the believers. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, you know, in defining or describing the lowest level of paradise. Obviously, if this is the lowest level that the Imam is describing, what is the highest levels? Obviously, there's in other traditions that we will mention. We know that paradise has levels. The hellfire also has levels. What is the reality of levels here is another discussion that we will leave to the philosophers and the mystics to actually expound on this. But in a theological way, we know that it is levels, that certain people will be in a certain area and some people will be in another area. You know, just to kind of make things more clearer. Even though this is probably not the case in reality. So here the Imam says that for the one who occupies, again, occupies is the means is taking over a place. So again, this is because of lack of language. The lowest station in paradise. So if a person was there, and if all the humans and all the jinn were to come to this individual as his guest, right? So everybody comes, and this person lays out the sufra, lays out a tablecloth, and he invites them to a meal. All the humans and all the jinn. As the hadith says, and al-jinn wal-ins, and all of them. He would be able to feed them food and drink, all of them, to such an extent that nothing will be diminished from him. That nothing will be gone from him. He will not lose anything. This is what the lowest level of paradise. That this is how much blessings and benefit that this person, the lowest level, will be able to. He will be able to feed and satiate the entire human race and jinn, and nothing will be distant from him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to make this our ultimate, you know, wanting and desire, but rather we want our ultimate desire to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Quran Quest, yes please. Quest, answering your Quranic questions. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters out there, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, where we examine the verses of the Quran one by one with our dear and beloved Sheikh Habib Za'atar. Sheikh Habib Za'atar, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Thank you for being with us.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's always an honor and a pleasure. Thank you guys for having me.
Okay, so Sheikh Habib, we're going through the verses of chapter Mary, which is chapter 19 of the Quran. Let's listen to a few verses and we'll be back for our questions. Stay tuned.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
قال ربي أن
He said, My Lord, how will I have a boy when my wife has been barren and I have reached extreme old age? An angel said, Thus it will be. Your Lord says, It is easy for me, for I created you before, while you were nothing. Zechariah said, My Lord, make for me a sign. He said, Your sign is that you will not speak to the people for 3 nights, being sound. So he came out to his people from the prayer chamber and signaled to them to exalt Allah in the morning and afternoon. Allah said, O John, take the scripture with determination. And we gave him judgment while yet a boy.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. You were just listening to a few verses of chapter 19, Surah Mary. On verse 8, it seems that Zechariah is quite shocked that God subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him a son. But it's God after all, and he can pretty much do anything. Why would Zechariah, who's a prophet, be shocked?
See here, there's two aspects to this. The first aspect is, in the eyes of Zechariah, what's happening, right? And the eyes of the people, what they are seeing. The second aspect is that the fact that Zechariah is going to go to his people. He's going to show them this child, or they're going to know that his wife is going to get pregnant. And there might be questions about how did this happen, right? And therefore, he wants to know the answer to it. He wants to be clear and learn from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take the knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to know how to tell the people that this is a miracle, and this is from the capability and ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And more than that, this is just like one answer. There is another answer, that the same thing with Ibrahim alayhi salam, where he was certain of resurrection, and then yet he still asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Holy Quran it was stated that, show me how you bring things back to life, so I could be in more, you know, knowledge and more, so my heart could, you know,
my faith will become more
my health could be settled. Because there's a difference between believing in something and becoming uncertainty with something. And when you believe in something, you believe with it with all your heart and whatnot. But when you come in certainty, you have more knowledge to it. You've seen it with your own eyes. I think we should talk more about that and elevate more about it when we reach the verse that talks actually about Abraham and how he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show him more,
Yeah, but on a side note, it makes complete sense. Seeing is more convincing than
just listening and believing and submission towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And the prophets always have the privilege of seeing, but we don't. We have to just hear. How come we're expected to heed
There's this saying yesterday, I was actually reading it. It's very beautiful. States that ulama'u ummati kabani Israel are like the prophets, the knowledgeable people of our times are on the same level and the status of the prophets of Bani Israel. So us who believed in the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, you know, talk nice about us, especially us living in this time. And also Imam Ridha alayhi salam, there's a couple of sayings. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that the people that are the best of this ummah are those who believed in me by not seeing me, when not seeing me. And there's a precise word, ala bayadin wa sawad, which pretty much means with their imagination, with their mind capacity. And another saying states that from Imam Ridha alayhi salam states that we're the best generation. Why? Because they believed in the Prophet. They believed in the Quran without seeing the Prophet. We believe in the Imam alayhi salam without even seeing them. That's something nice for us, you know? I'm kind of happy with that idea. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of happy with that idea, that we're cool with that. And then we will see the Prophet eventually, after our death, you know? It doesn't matter, as long as we see him. It doesn't matter, this life, afterlife.
I think I've also seen a narration myself which says that they are people who believed in me based on ink on a piece of paper, basically based on their research.
I think that's a different translation to the saying I was seeing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we have approximately a minute. We always interpret this verse as in shock, but might it be amazement? Might Zechariah be amazed that his prayer has been accepted?
Yeah, the thing here is, yeah, it's like there are natural causes, and then there are like supernatural causes, something out of the norm. And usually we go through our lives with these, you know, natural causes and normal things and normal causes and effects, and you could call them the physic laws, right? And prophets as human beings, at the end of the day, yeah, something out of the ordinary. No, just, you know, kind of, wow, really, that's going to happen? That's nice. That could be also available. That could be, you know, valid as well, even with the high knowledge that they have and the submission towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So it doesn't necessarily have to have a negative connotation.
No, it doesn't have to have a negative thing. At the end of the day, what I'm trying to do actually here is trying to remove that the idea and the concept that the Prophet had doubt in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's something that we believe in, and that's something concrete. The Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not send prophets that who have doubt in him or his capability. So when you have that, you have to understand that there is something other than doubting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you're asking such a question.
All right, thank you very much. We're going to have to take a break now, but we'll be back after the break to discuss the next verse, verse 9. Stay tuned.
إن سألتم عن الله فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on verse 9 of Surah Mary, chapter 19 of the Quran. It reads that he said, "So shall it be. Your Lord has said, it is simple for me. Certainly I created you before when you were nothing." This is in response to Zechariah's amazement or shock when God told him that he would be giving him a son. So just generally speaking, what is the take-home message for us, for our daily lives, from this verse?
First of all, before answering that question, you know, this is just like showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing him how it's going to happen, you know, and pretty much it goes along track with the first and the second answers to the question that you asked about why was he in doubt or not. And pretty much here it returns to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كان الله لم يكن معه شيء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was in existence, or I'm not going to say in existence,
he was available.
Existed. Yeah, all right. And there was nothing else existing with him. Leave alone the philosophical, you know, interpretations to the saying, I'm going to stay with what Allama al-Majlisi states, that كان الله لم يكن معه شيء. As long as it's this meaning, we accept it. And now, after understanding this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then created creations. He created from nothing. He created everything that we see now, and even more, the things that we don't see, things that we haven't discovered yet. He created it from nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating, what is easier? Creating something from nothing, or creating something from something available? Especially with, you know, the woman and the man available, a part of the natural causes of, you know, offspring and bringing babies into this world are available. Isn't it much easier than creating Adam from tin, or from, you know, from
soil.
From soil, and creating the soil from nothing? So of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is capable of bringing things out of nothing, it's logically, you know, easier to bring in things into existence from things already in existence.
So God created from nothing.
Yeah.
And that would be harder from creating from something.
Yes, there's also a verse about that actually in the Holy Quran.
Thank you. That's approximately all the time that we have. We have to sign off now. But if you missed the program, no worries. You can always download an archive of this program and our previous episodes from our website. Search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Until next week, from me and the whole team here, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I tell my friends that I think I am a better Christian now that I am a Muslim.
And everywhere my eyes fell, it was as if this Quran was directly talking to
me. Now you're becoming a Muslim. Yes. How did this affect your mom?
In my city, there is only one mosque, it's Shia.
And those who were guided to the right path in moments of realization. بالحب نجمع شملنا وشتاتنا كلمة تفرق سادة الأنام الله أكبر الله أكبر الله 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 أكبر
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of God, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum. Hello and welcome to our program, Moments of Realization. It's a program where we get to meet and have a chat with those people who have made decisions in their lives that have changed the course and direction of their lives. We get to meet them and find out why they have made these decisions and what they hope to achieve. We have one such guest with us today. His name is Mr. Saeed Abdullah from Nigeria. Assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaikum assalam wa
rahmatullah. Welcome to our program.
Thank you.
Can you tell us what do you think is special and distinctive about Nigeria?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. وبعد. My name is Saeed Abdullah Asad bin Saeed. I am a member of Rasul al-Azam Foundation.
Okay.
Called RAF. It's an organization under the leadership of Hujjat al-Islam wal Muslimin, Sheikh Nur Muhammad Das. So I'm one of the members of this organization.
Okay.
Yes, one of the distinctive I can say about Nigeria is that we are enjoying with one freedom. That is, okay. Nigeria is a secular country which everybody can practice his what religion. So you are what you have, you are free to practice whatever you want, whatever you wanted to worship or to choose any of your religion.
Okay.
So this thing gives us an opportunity to be compacted from Sunni to Shiite.
Okay, so you were born as a Sunni.
Yes.
And you were brought up in a Sunni family.
Of course.
And how was that? How was your development as a child? How was your childhood?
Yes. In my childhood, first of all, when I'm young, I had been taken by my uncle to a state called Maiduguri. Borno.
Okay.
It's a state in the south, north.
Okay.
So my father, my uncle took me to that place in order to go and do Quranic recitation, to read Quran.
Okay.
When he took me there,
how old were you there?
By then, I think 6 years old.
Okay.
This is around 1979, around that time. So he took me to Maiduguri, Borno State, to study Quranic. When he went there, he now later decided to put me into Islamia. So he took me to Islamia, one Islamia called Irshad Institute for Islamic Guidance.
Okay.
So I obtained my primary school there, my primary school certificate from that school, which is Islamia school, as I have been saying. And then from there, I proceeded to one college called Economic College of Islamic Theology, where I possessed my SIS certificate, that is Senior Islamic Studies Certificate of Education. So this is how I got my distinction.
Did you also study secular subjects?
Secular subject as well.
Like math, English, geography?
Yes. Okay. We study all these subjects, but in Arabic. Although,
I see.
Yes, although our study is not so deep, because we are lacking Arabic teachers who will teach us science.
I see.
At that time, I think that we have one lecturer who volunteered from University of Maiduguri to come to our school and teach us some subjects, some science subjects like chemistry and agri science and what have you.
Okay, why did your uncle take you away from your family and so on? Couldn't you have studied Islamic studies where you were?
Yes, because we in Nigeria or in Northern State, we consider Borno State as a center of knowledge.
Okay.
It is what since for a long period of time, Borno State have been considered as a center of learning Quran and Islamic studies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why most of our people used to travel to that place and study Quran there. So that's why I've been taken to that place.
Okay.
So later on, sorry for listening. So later on, I went to obtain my NCE in Arabic and Islamic studies, and then my degree also in education in Arabic. Education Arabic.
Okay.
So this is how my childhood was.
And did you go on? Did you study further than that? What is the progression of your studies? What else?
Alhamdulillah. That is a lot. In fact, it's a lot. We have learned. Alhamdulillah. Bihawlillah. What we have learned from our teachers, some part of knowledge in different subjects on Islamic studies and Arabic and education.
Okay.
Way of teaching method and what have you.
What did you do then?
Then after that, immediately I finished my SIS, that is college, I had been employed by our government.
Okay.
This 1999, this is the year when I left Maiduguri back to my state, which is Katsina State.
Okay. So now, are you a Hafiz of Quran?
No, I am not.
Okay.
Yes, I'm not. So I've been taken to, I went back to my state, mm-hmm. that is Kasina State, and then I got an employment with the state government to teach Arabic and Islamic studies.
I see.
And up to now, I'm that.
So you are a teacher?
I'm teaching, yes.
So you are a sheikh?
No, no, I'm not. I'm not a sheikh.
Okay.
No, I'm a student, as I've been saying.
You are a student.
I'm now still learning. I'm still a student.
You will always be a student.
This is my hope.
Okay. Now, I guess you were brought up in a particularly religious family. Was your family religious?
Yes,
I guess because
yes.
they encourage you to study from a young age.
Yes. My family, in fact,
mm-hmm.
they are what? They are knowledgeable people. Like my grandfather, if you can trace my history, in one of my grandfathers, there is one is Lawal and Musa, and there is one which has been nicknamed as Andi.
Okay.
Andi is an Fulani language.
Okay.
When you say Andi means a knowledgeable somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So this is our silisila. I can use this Arabic testing. So this is the family which I am what from. So my father also has interest in
yes.
religion. That's why he asked my uncle to take me to that place in order to study more.
Okay. Mm. So when did you first hear about Shiism?
Yes, it is since I'm in secondary school in Kenya College. That is between 1985 to 1991.
Okay.
When I was a student,
mm-hmm.
there is a habit we develop in the school. We are used to write letters to outside country, to overseas, so that
okay.
they will be what? Sending books to us.
Okay.
Since at that time, Iran was what? Was very popular in sending books to students when
mm-hmm.
they write. So as my colleagues are writing, I took my pen and I wrote a letter to Iran and they sent me some books. Although our principal at that time,
mm-hmm.
he has what? He doesn't like Shia.
Okay.
So all the books which have been sent from Iran, he used to seize it.
I see.
Yes. And then unfortunately, he used to what? Burn it.
Mm-hmm.
The
he
books.
Would burn them.
Yeah, burn them.
Mm-hmm.
So
you were aware of this?
I'm doing this only because of what? Because to share my friends in getting
mm-hmm.
the books from outside. I don't have any ideology on Shiism.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to give you one clue. Let me finish. So I'm coming. So when one day
mm-hmm.
I got large number of I was fortunate. To get the book, so I gave it to one of my friends. My principal now saw the book. It's my friend. He asked him, "From where did you get the book? This book?" He said, "From Said."
Uh-huh.
So the principal called me. He said, "Ah, Said, are you the one who is distributing the shared book?" I said, "No, sir, I'm not the one." I said, "Then how? Somebody I collect one book from?" He said, "You're the one who gave him." I think because of that, they brought a course
mm-hmm.
on that term, which is what on Shiism. So you were taught about Shiism and what have you. After my conversion to Shiism. When I am checking my books, I got one of the book, which is written by Amal Shah Ramadan, a book written by Sheikh Kui, Atulai Kui.
Mm-hmm.
So it is after my conversion, when my wife is just going, looking
okay.
inside the book, just say what? Ah, look at the book. We are looking for a book for Ramadan. Ramadan
mm-hmm.
is approaching. So look at the book. It is a book of Ahlul Bayt. So I don't know how to, this a thing which is I used to seriously amaze on it.
You said that your principal would
mm.
seize all the books from Iran
mm.
and burn them.
Mm.
What did you think about this? What did you think of Shias when this happened?
Yes, at that time, since I'm young,
mm-hmm.
and I don't have any knowledge of the Shiism, and then it's my principal, I just took it as right, just a little bit like this.
Mm-hmm.
It is later. Around, I think, 1993, around that time. That is, in Nigeria, we have two Shiite groups.
Okay.
There are main Shiite group, and there are some small group which are
okay.
very distant. So there is one of the Shiite group which is called the Islamic Movement.
Yes.
So this Islamic movement, when it started, one day, I'm at that time on one of the distant. I'm one of their member.
You are a member?
Yes, yes. It is later. Now they declare that Shiism
you were a member of the Islamic movement,
yes,
but you didn't know that it was a Shia movement?
No, it's not Shia. By then, it's not a Shia
movement. It wasn't a Shia movement
then?
It was okay.
Not, yes. So it is later now when the leader mm-hmm. of that movement declared this thing. So this thing give us what? A hint.
Okay.
So we start doing what? Research.
Okay.
I went on doing research, history books like Bukhari,
mm-hmm.
and then like Nurul Absar, and what some books.
What were you trying to find out?
I'm trying to find out who are the Shi, what is Shiism, and who are the Shiite, and who are the household of the Prophet. These
uh-huh,
are the questions.
The household of the Prophet.
Uh-huh, these are the questions which okay. I used to.
But you are aware of the household of the Prophet as a Sunni.
I'm not well aware. As I have been.
You are aware of Hazrat Fatima Zahra.
Yes, okay. I am aware of it. But the knowledge we are given is too what? It's too small. It's
okay.
too scanty.
I see.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
we are not told of this. So after now, after I will discover,
mm-hmm.
after we make some research, that is one of my
How
friends.
How old are you at this time?
By then, I think.
Were you a teacher?
I'm a teacher.
You're a teacher.
I'm teaching. Yes.
Okay.
So after this knowledge, after
mm-hmm.
after this research,
mm-hmm.
we end up with what? With conversion into Shiism. Me and one of my friends, who is called Noura.
You did this research together?
Yes. He used to come to my house with a box of books. We sit down after school, after evening, we keep on doing research on
mm-hmm.
many things. So now, after we become Shia, we now started thinking that Shiism cannot be practiced.
Okay, so before you get to that, what made you then decide that you should change your madhab to Shiism?
It's the reality.
Mm.
It's the reality. We have seen who are the history or the household of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I used to give one example.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, people answer this question, please let me get
okay.
to this thing. After realizing that Shiism, we now discover that it is not possible for somebody practice Shiism without having the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And they, that Haraka, Islamic movement,
mm-hmm.
they are not, we later on discover that it is a political movement.
Mm-hmm.
So we now what? We now join to this Ma'asatul Rasul al-Azam, which is a foundation, which have a legacy,
mm-hmm.
if I'm correct. It has a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
The organization register with the government. The government consider it as a what? As a cooperative body.
Mm-hmm.
Under one commission called Cooperative Commission,
okay.
something of that nature. So they register with it. It have legacy, and they are practicing what? The real Shiism.
Mm-hmm.
The activities. There are many reasons which lead me to what? To decamp myself
mm-hmm.
from that what? Haraka,
mm-hmm.
Islamia, to that what? Rasul Azam Foundation. That is our foundation. Ambition is to spread the knowledge of Ahl Bayt or Ummah and
mm-hmm.
let them become aware of that knowledge. Nothing else. And then it is now, after my coming to this country, we learn a lot that our leaders are what? Our good leaders. They are taking us to the actual teaching of Shiism. Well, with regard, please, now your question.
Okay. Well, I was asking you about how did you convert to Shiism?
When I read, there is one example which I used to give to my friend. I say, for example, as a student, you are given assignment
mm-hmm.
from your teacher or from your lecturer
okay.
to go, please, Go and give us a history of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Now you went off. Now, for example, let me give you an example. Like now, I have my friend called Murtala.
Mm-hmm.
You now, as a lecturer, you give us assignment. Go and find the history of Murtala Isa. When you give us assignment, I went to the family of Murtala Isa, his
mm-hmm.
father, his uncles, and asked them, please. Can you kindly tell me who is Murtala Isa?
Mm-hmm.
They told me all about it. I come back with my result.
Mm-hmm.
My colleague, when he went to the friend of Murtala Isa. He asked them to give him what? The history
mm-hmm.
of Murtala Isa. Please, for God's sake, if we present our paper to you as a lecturer, whom are you going to what? Score what? More marks.
Okay.
So this is the way I used to approach my friends. I say, the household of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, They are the household. They have the complete knowledge of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
If a lecturer can give or can award highest mark to a student who went to what to the what to Murtala's family,
the direct source.
Aha, direct source.
Mm-hmm.
If he can award him more marks, then why should we not award or not what, not be, uh, not be, uh,